gets everyone out on this Memorial Day weekend, when we gather together to and participate sometimes in things that to honor those who have given their life for the country, to help it to remain free, and honor those who gave their lives for that. But there are some other people that we need to remember also today, and we're going to look at that this morning as we look at Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. There's a story about a city fellow who was visiting relatives on a farm. And the farmer gave a whistle, and his dog herded the cattle into the corral, then lashed the gate with her paw. "Wow, that's some dog. What's her name?" Now, the farmer was kind of forgetful, and he thought for a moment. Then he asked, "What do you call that red flower that smells good and has thorns on the stem?" "A rose," he said. "That's it." The farmer turned to his wife and said, "Hey, Rose, what do we name the dog?" You know, there are times when we, as humans, can get quite forgetful. You know, been there, done that, you know, and I'm sure that you've been through that also. What is your worst happening of forgetfulness in life? Did you ever get to your car, reach for your keys, and didn't have them? Or you couldn't remember your own phone number? It just went blank, or your house number, or the names of people you knew, maybe even your sons and daughters, or the street where you live? You know, stress and things like that can cause us to draw a blank sometimes on things we feel we should know. If we're put in the right situation at the right time, we can all be forgetful. One day, after Albert Einstein had moved to his new home at the Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey, the telephone rang at the office of the dean of the Princeton Graduate School. The voice on the other end inquired, "May I speak to Dr. Einstein, please?" Advised that he was not in, the voice continued, "Perhaps then you can tell me where Dr. Einstein lives." The secretary replied that she could not do this since Dr. Einstein wished to have his privacy respected. The voice on the telephone dropped to a near whisper, "Please do not tell anybody, but I am Dr. Einstein. I am on my way home, and I've forgotten where my house is." So, it happens to the best of us, it happens to all of us at some time that we just can't remember. You know, the worst forgetfulness of all is to forget people. One of the biggest lessons that we need to learn is that God didn't put us here for us. God put us here for others. If we read our text, 1 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4, not really our text, "But praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble." You know, God gives us comfort so that we can spread that comfort to those around us, to those who need. You ever hear God speaking to you? God comforts us so that we can comfort others. God ministers to us so that we can minister to others. God loves us so we can love others. God put us here for others. If we let God speak to us in that verse, that's what we gain from that. Now onto our text in Philippians 2:3. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself." Now we live in a very self-centered society. It's every man, woman, child for themselves. And, you know, people are taking care of themselves, but in humility we are to consider others better than ourselves. We are to look to them and their needs. You know, such a great prayer that Eddie gave this morning, talking about God opening our eyes to the needs of others and their needs. We need to look around and see the good in others. We need to look around and see the needs in others, and what good we can do for them. There's a poem called "I Know Something Good About You." It goes like this: "Wouldn't this old world be better if the folks we met would say, 'I know something good about you,' and then treat us just that way? Wouldn't it be fine and dandy if each hand clasp, warm and true, carried with it this assurance, 'I know something good about you'? Wouldn't life be a lot more happy if the good that is in us all were the only thing about us that folks bothered to recall. Wouldn't life be lots more happy if we praised the good we see? For there's such a lot of goodness in the worst of you and me. Wouldn't it be nice to practice that fine way of thinking too? You know that something good about me, I know something good about you. You know, we should look for the good that is there and look to help others. There's something good in all of us, and we need to look for that good. If we need, we need to praise the good. We need to realize that good in others may be better than the good in us. Philippians 2:4. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And that flies into the face of that self-centered society that we live in, where we focus exclusively on ourselves and the needs of our immediate family. We need to look to others. We should be interested in others for their good. Most people are only interested in others because they want to spread bad news. They want to spread gossip. Or you go into the checkout line and there's, you know, just tons of magazines that spread the latest gossip, from celebrities to well-known people to just whatever. And bad news is what sells on the news, and like they say, if it bleeds, it leaves. But spread the good. Now, this Memorial Day weekend, we need to be concerned about others for their good. For many people, this weekend means picnics, parades, and other things. It means grill, food, and family and fun. And of course, with an extra day off, a lot of times we can see family that we haven't seen in a long time, or spend more time with them than we generally get to. But for a few rare souls, it means going to the grave of the loved ones that have passed on and remembering. Remembrance may be tough to do, and perhaps that's why some don't do it. Some people don't like to focus on that. But it's generally good to remember others alive and passed on. It's always good to think of others, to love others, to remember others. On this Memorial Day weekend, we need to think about people in our lives. God put us here to remember people. We need to think of them in two ways. We need to remember them in life, and we need to remember those who have gone on. If we remember the people who have gone on, in John 11, 1 through 5. Let's turn there and read that. John 11, 1 through 5. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard of this, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified in it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Now we know the rest of the story, that Jesus allowed Lazarus to die so that he could bring that great miracle of bringing him back to life. But there was a lot of sorrow. There was a lot of sadness. And that verse we remember so well where Jesus wept. What a story. Jesus loved them, but for the kingdom, they could bring such a great miracle and help him show people that he had power over them, that he could overcome these things. Jesus loved people. What an understatement today, that Jesus loves people. He died for us. At times, Jesus loved some more intensely than others. And there's nothing wrong with that. We're all to love all people. There are times when we love some more than others. Or they are needing more love from us than others sometimes. Sometimes their needs are great. Sometimes our needs are great. It just depends. In Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Paul is telling us in that verse that we need to be happy with those who are happy. And we need to weep with those who weep, to be there when they need. We need to help meet the needs of others in their times and trials. And that's basically what he's telling us here in Romans 12:15. That it's being attentive, that it's being caring, and that it's reaching out to others and putting aside our needs for others. You know, sometimes people hurt a whole lot. They weep. And it's during those times we need to show them the greatest kindness and the greatest love at that time. They need to be loved and they need to be remembered. So we need to ask ourselves this morning, how much do we love people around us? Because Jesus loved them all. We need to remember people in death. Jesus loved Lazarus who had just died. Jesus loved his sisters as well. Jesus remembered them. Have you ever remembered anyone who passed on? I'm sure you do. You know, you remember them and you think about them and you even consider what they would have thought of certain situations you know them so well. There's a lady who was working in a nursing home who had made it her mission to sit with those who were dying when no family member was present. I know that's hard to do. Not everyone can do that sort of thing, to sit with someone at the end of their life. But if your faith in the Lord is strong enough, it can be done and should be done. Her thinking is that no one should die alone. She wanted to demonstrate love for the dying as they leave this world. And that's a great thing. To be there, to meet their needs, to see someone and to help them with whatever we can. We all need to remember those who have passed on. Someone once said, say goodbye to me, but not to the thought of me. Remember your loved ones who have gone on before you. Remember and appreciate them. Remember and rejoice for their good. Remember and praise God for them. Say goodbye to me, but not to the thought of life. We need to remember those who have gone on, who have set us on, maybe set us on the path of faith. Those who have gone on, who don't fill these pews anymore, who kept this church going, and the churches everywhere going. People of faith that gave us faith and strength, that were there to comfort us when we were down, to help us through the bad times, to remember them by doing that for someone else. Mark Schultz of Bremerton, Washington is a fatherless 12-year-old who likes to fish, but he had no adult to take him fishing. He submitted a want ad asking for adult volunteers to take him fishing. He received 20 phone calls. We need to remember people in life. We need to remember them in any form that shows we care about them. Taking them fishing or doing some other good thing or, you know, helping them out in their needs. A member of a church in Missouri once said, I believe in giving flowers to the living. Flowers to the living. She remembered people in life. And we need to remember people. You know, we gather around and talk about all the good times and the good things whenever someone passes away that we have with them. We need to remember to tell them that while they're still here. We need to not only remember those who have passed on, but those who are living with us today. Because they need the comfort. They need the slap on the back. They need to know that they're doing right and that they're helping and that they have an impact in our lives. And you all have an impact in my life to help me to be stronger. And I hope vice versa. I hope I'm helping you out. In Matthew 9, 35 and 36, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. If it wasn't the Pharisees and the Sadducees on their back, it was the Romans on their back. They had trouble getting work. They had trouble finding things to do. They had trouble feeding their family. Threats within, threats without, illness, sickness, sick spouse, sick kids. They had it all. And Jesus had compassion on them. Jesus was someone who looked. He really looked at people. You know, we kind of pass by sometimes and we got our blinders on like the old horse so that, you know, nothing scares it or gets it distracted. And we kind of focus and we go down our life in that tunnel vision that we live sometimes. But Jesus looked at people and he looked at them deeply. He could see their hurt, he could see their pain, their sorrow. He was aware of people around him. He was sensitive to them. Jesus remembered people. Helen Keller once said, to be blind is bad, but it is worse to have eyes and not to see. Sometimes we're so blind to the to the pain of others. We don't see it. Someone once said, we can't heal the wounds we do not feel, or perhaps the wounds we don't see. We have to be empathetic to those wounds. You know, we've all faced troubles and trials in our life. And hopefully we can help someone through the trials and tribulations of their life, through their illnesses, if we had similar illnesses, through their loss, if they're experiencing similar loss. The preacher was in his study preparing his sermon when his little boy toddled into the room and holding up his pinched finger, said with an expression of suffering, look, Daddy, it hurts real bad. The preacher's father glanced at him and with a tone of impatience said, I can't help it, honey. The little boy's eyes grew bigger. As he turned to go out, he said in a low voice, yes, you could have helped him. You could have said, oh, I'm sorry. People just need some compassion, some help sometimes. To know that others care, that others are praying for them. We always need to be in prayer. Can't have enough of that. Can't do enough of it. A man put up a sign in his yard that read, puppies for sale. Among those who came to inquire was a young boy. He said, please, mister, he said, I'd like to buy one of your puppies if it doesn't cost you much. He said, well, son, they're $25 each. The boy looked crushed. I've only got $2.05. Could I see him anyway? Of course, maybe we can work something out, said the man. The boy's eyes danced at the sight of the little balls of fur out there that were yapping. I heard one of them has a bad leg, he said. Yes, I'm afraid she'll be crippled for life, the man said. Well, that's the puppy I want. Could I pay for her a little at a time? The man responded and said, but she'll always have a limp. Smiling bravely, the little boy pulled up his pant leg, revealing a brace. He said, I don't walk too good myself. Then looking at the puppy sympathetically, he continued, I guess you'll need a lot of love and help. I got a lot of love and help, and I'm doing okay. Well, the man felt so sympathetic, he gave the little boy the puppy and said, keep your money. I know you'll take care of him. We need to be at that point in our lives when we realize that we too are crippled in our lives. Whatever it may be, you know, maybe it's a physical thing, maybe it's an emotional thing, maybe it's a past thing, a future thing. Something in our lives has caused us to need God in our lives, and we come to Him, and to need those around us so we can share together in compassion towards each other and compassion towards others, and compassion for those in need. Look around you. Look at the crowds. Look at people and be aware. Be compassionate and have sympathy. The more you do, the more you'll feel that tug to answer that call from God to help people. Matthew 20:28, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life for a ransom for many. Christ was a servant for others. He didn't stand around waiting to be served. He didn't act like He could have acted as God Himself being worshipped. He washed the feet of His disciples. He went about doing good. He healed people. He touched people. He connected with people on a personal level. Instead of trying to run roughshod over them or do anything like that, He blessed them. Jesus is a servant among servants and a servant of servants. We may look to Him and worship Him, but when it comes down to the bottom line of the brass tacks, there's something else Eddie said before prayer this morning. Thank God Himself that we can go to Him, that we have a place to go and talk to Him. One time a man asked his friend, by whose preaching were you converted? The man replied, not by anyone's preaching, but by mother's practicing. Few people serve more better than a loving mother. All of us can learn from loving mothers who have gone about their business, never said a word, never complained, just kept right on serving and loving us. We need to remember people by being servants to one another. When we help others, when we serve others, they see Christ in us. They see the love of the Lord that extends from Christ, that goes through us, that goes to them. And we share in their problems. I'll leave you with this morning. Years ago, the Salvation Army was holding an international convention, and their founder, General William Booth, could not attend because of physical weakness. He cables his convention message to them, and it had one word. That one word was others. And that's what we need to be, like Christ. Not about us, but about others in our life. So that we can comfort those who need and help those who seek. That should be our life. After all, Christ did it for us and asked us to carry that to those around him. To share that love, to share that blessing, to share that gospel, to share that salvation with those in need. I don't know what your needs are this morning, or if you have need of the church, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?